Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Our daughter, Kelly, is teaching on the broadcast today. And let me tell you something. Of course, we're like other parents and grandparents. I mean, we're thrilled with our children. We're thrilled not only with the fact that they're our children, but I'll tell you, their growth and their spiritual lives are not dependent on us as parents or grandparents. I mean, our grandkids know more about standing and walking in faith than we did when we went in this ministry.
Oh, by far.
Gloria and I do not share this table or this pulpit or this ministry with anybody because they're our children, because of their financial statement, or because we're trying to impress them or you. Nobody comes behind this holy desk unless the Holy Ghost has instructed it to be that way, and unless they have the anointing of God in their lives, and unless they know what they're talking about and they have something to say that our partners need to hear. And this is true with our children, it's true with our grandchildren, it's true with any other ministry. That is our stand on the Word of God. So Kelly's not here because she's our daughter. She's here because she is an anointed woman of God with a specific ministry and calling in her life. And she has something to say that will help you in your life. In Jesus' name.
When you let God be the keeper of your heart, you will always prevail. Learn more with Kelly Copeland on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
Is the Lord pleased with you today? Have you asked that? I talked to you yesterday about asking yourself that question all day long. Does this please you, Lord? Well, I'm going to ask you today, is He pleased with you? Well, you know, if your response to that was no, then I want you to pay attention today because I can help you with that. And if it was yes, well, praise God, you're going to enjoy today's broadcast. This is Kelly Copeland on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm excited to bring you this topic, living to please Him. And you know, one thing about it, if you feel like the Lord is not pleased with you, you can get it right in 2 seconds. Just say, Father, forgive me for where I've missed it and help me to see what you want me to do. There you go. You can now say that you perfectly please the Father. He's so easy like that. And He's wanting us to get a hold of this idea of pleasing Him. Why? So that He can be boss? No. He doesn't want us to please Him because it pleases Him. He wants us to please Him so that He can turn around and please us. He has a plan for us. And everything that He instructs us to do or instructs us to say fits into that plan that He's already designed for us. Jeremiah 29:11 says that He has a good plan for us, that it's a plan to bless and prosper us, a plan to give us a future and a hope. It's not a plan to hurt us or harm us. And so He's developed a plan for us. In Psalm 139, it says that He's written every moment of our life. And yet at the end of that verse, I love it. It says, Lord, search me and tell me if there's any evil way in me. You know, I pray that. I said, Lord, is there anything in me that you don't like? Is there anything in me that displeases you? And so that's an important question to ask. And before you start to eat something, before you start to say something, before you pop off at somebody, before you have a response to a certain situation, ask the Lord, does this please you? Is my response that I'm about to give to this person, Lord, does that please you? And many, many times we will have to keep our mouth shut because we'll know that this does not please Him. But if we would do that, not only would our reactions be right and the way we respond to things and the way we handle things would be right, not just that, but our heart would be right. And it goes deeper than just doing right. It goes to the heart issue of the things. So we've looked at Adam and Eve, and we've looked at Saul and seen how he did not obey the Lord. And his heart was not after God. His heart was not to please the Lord. And so he disobeyed God, and Samuel came in and corrected him. But the word of the Lord came through Samuel saying, you know what? It says in First Samuel 13:13, you've not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. And the Lord has already appointed him to be leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And because Saul failed to keep the Lord's command, and it wasn't just that, it was a heart issue. You know, the Lord would have forgiven Saul just the way he forgave David his many sins. But Saul did not repent. Saul did not have a heart that was after God. What does that mean? A heart that chases after what God wants. A heart that says, what I want is what you want. Because you know what? Somebody who has a heart after God and their heart pursues God, even when they blow it, their heart cries out in repentance. But Saul, his heart was not like that. He continued to disobey God to the point that he didn't obey him in battle anymore. He didn't obey him with what he did with King Agag. And go read chapter 15. We talked about that yesterday. He left all the animals alive after God had told him to kill them all. And I love what Samuel said. Saul said, hey, I've kept the Lord's command. I carried out my mission. How many times have we been that way where we said, hey, I'm obeying God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But if our heart is not to please him, we'll miss things. We'll miss important things that he's called us to do. And you know what the thing is? We don't always know when that one thing that he's called us to do was a life or death matter. We don't always know when that one thing he asked us to do would change the world, would change our life, would change our children's life, our husband, our wife's life. We don't know because we don't know the whole plan of God. What we should know is that whatever he asks us to do is part of his plan. He's trying to keep us in that plan. He's trying to keep us walking after his ways. And so Saul left all those animals alive, and Samuel said, hey, if you've obeyed God completely, then what is all that noise? What is all that bleeding of the sheep that I hear? Well, anyway, we went on to find out yesterday that the Lord says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Saul had said, I'm going to sacrifice all these animals to the Lord your God. But you know what? That's not what the Lord wants. You could say, hey, I'm singing in church every Sunday. I'm sacrificing my family time so that I could sing in the choir. But you know what? That's not the heart of what God wants. Yes, God wants you to serve in the church. Yes, he wants you to do things, to be a minister and to support your church and to support what he's doing there. But that's not the heart of what he wants. His heart is that when you get up at five in the morning so you can be at choir practice on time, you don't bite everybody's head off on the way. You know what I mean? You could say, hey, I'm doing what God's called me to do. But if you're not walking in love along the way, or you're not obeying him in some other way, or you're on the way to choir practice and he says, stop, I need you to go here first. And you say, I can't, I've got to go to choir. That obedience is better than your sacrifice. Just obey. And you know what? Obedience is its own sacrifice. And obedience is the best kind of sacrifice. Anyway, so that's where we left off yesterday. And we found out that the Lord tells Samuel, you've mourned long enough for Saul. You know, I'm going to tell you, like when you can push it to the point where, yes, there's repentance and yes, God will forgive you, but you end up altering God's plan for you when you don't obey and you don't obey and you don't obey and you don't obey, he has to go to plan B. And he said, I called Saul, but he wouldn't mind me. So now you've mourned Samuel, you've mourned long enough for him. It's time to anoint another king. And so God says here in chapter 16, verse 1, he says, go see Jesse. He said, I've selected one of his sons to be my king. In verse 6, it says, when they arrived, Samuel took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. And you know what? It's easy to look on the surface of things and say, that's what God wants. It's easy to look on the surface of something, maybe even something you feel like you're called to do, and you say, hey, I'm good at that. That must be what the Lord wants for me because it looks right. But it says here in verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And if we're going to please the Lord, we need to look at his heart behind the matter. We need to see his instruction behind the matter. And you know what? We'll come to find out in the next few chapters, we find out that the other sons of Jesse, they were cowards. They wouldn't take God's word and charge and go do things for his cause. They were just cowards. And so it says here, God says, I've rejected him. Jesse goes on to say, he says, is this it? Because God didn't choose any of the good-looking sons that were placed in front of him. And he says, is this it? And Jesse says, well, they're still the youngest one. We keep him outside. We keep him outside with the sheep. And so he says, send for him at once. And so in verse 12, it says, Jesse sent for him. And in, it says, God says to Samuel, this is the one, anoint him. You know, the youngest one, the rowdiest one, this is the one. And so the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. And you know what? He was chosen before. It was back here at the beginning of verse 16 that the Lord said, I've already chosen him. I've already picked him out. And it says in the chapter 13, it says, the Lord has sought out. The Lord's looked for someone after his own heart, and he's already appointed him. So God had already chosen David. David didn't know. David was still out watching the sheep, and God had already chosen him. And all that David knew was, I'm doing what I'm called to do. He's protecting the sheep. He's seeing to his duties. He's courageous when it comes to protecting what he's been placed in charge over. And his heart was not full of fear. It was full of courage, and it was full of the desire to do what he was supposed to do. And so God saw this little guy, and he said, that's him. And so he anointed him. And when we get down to Goliath, here in the story of Goliath, Goliath was this big, big guy, right? And he's really wanting Saul. Saul was a big man. And he's really wanting Saul to come out and fight him. But you know what? The more you don't obey God, the more you let the things of God go out of your heart, the less courageous you become. You know, when Saul was young and anointed king, he probably would have gone out there to fight Goliath in the name of the Lord. But remember back where we talked about how much Saul began doing things in his own way? The more you do that, and the more you do that, you begin to lose the courage that's required to do things in the name of the Lord. You lose the courage that, you know, God said, I'm gonna use this where healing is concerned. God said, 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. The more you try to heal yourself, the more you try to take care of yourself, not that you don't take care of yourself, but the more you become your answer, if you know what I mean, the more you put your faith in doctors. And I'm not saying don't go to doctors, but while you're going to the doctor, you better have your faith in God. And you better be obedient to his words. When he says, do this, do that, go to this doctor, don't go to that one. This is not me. This is me. The more you put your courage, your faith in what he says, the more courage you have on the inside to believe him when he says that you're healed. But when you start really making your own way, then the courage to do it his way begins to fail you. Does that make sense? And it says here, Goliath is out calling for Saul, but Saul has so given himself over to doing things his own way, building monuments to himself, making the sacrifices himself without going God's way, that when he can't do something in himself, he can't do it in God either. And that's sad. That is sad, because he could have gone out there in the name of the Lord in prior days and beaten Goliath. But he can't here because he's so given himself over to doing it his own way. And the anointing of the Lord has lifted off of him, and he doesn't have the courage to go do it in the Lord. So Goliath is screaming out these challenges and these taunts to the children of Israel, screaming out these taunts to the armies of Israel, calling them dogs, calling them all kinds of things, trying to get somebody out here to fight him. So David goes, and he goes to, says he left the sheep with another shepherd. I love that. I love that David didn't just go leave the sheep. He took care of what he had to take care of first before he went into town to take care of his brothers. And it says he left out early with the gifts that Jesse had directed him to give to his brothers. He arrived at the camp as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. Have you seen the giant? He comes out each day to defy Israel. And he goes on to tell about what rewards there would be for the person that killed him. Listen to this. David asked the soldier standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" I love it that, you know, David wasn't just interested in the rewards. He started thinking about, wait a minute, who is this Philistine that he would defy the living God, that he would defy the armies and the battle arm of the living God? That bothered him. And it says here, his brothers begin to say, "What are you doing here anyway? What about those sheep you're supposed to take care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." See, his brothers were just seeing, they were thinking David's just wanting to get in the middle of this battle. The little kid's just wanting to join the big guys. David's wanting to defend the name of the Lord. David says, "What have I done now?" That sounds like a little brother. "I'm just asking a question." He walked over to some others and he asked the same thing and he received the same answer. His question was reported to King Saul, and so the king sends for him. David says, "Don't worry about this Philistine, I'll go fight him." Now, what do you think that Saul thought when this little kid comes up and he says, "Oh, don't worry about that big giant"? Because you know what? Everybody's been full of worry over this big giant. David said, "I'll go fight him." Saul says, "Don't be ridiculous. There's no way. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David says, "Hey, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb, I go after it, and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lion and bears, and I will do it to this pagan Philistine, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear will rescue me from this Philistine." Do you see the difference in David's, like, it feels like he's bragging, but it's so much different than Saul's bragging, where Saul builds a monument to himself and he says, "I have kept the Lord's command." David says, "I've done what I was supposed to do. And furthermore, I'm going to take care of this Philistine because he is defying the living God." David's heart was to defend the heart of God. David's heart was to defend their covenant, not just to get some glory, not just to be the big hero, but his heart was to defend the name of God. And so Saul says, "Okay, go ahead and may the Lord be with you." Big Saul, big man of God. Anyway, he says, "Take my armor." He gives him his own armor, and David puts it on, straps the sword, takes a step or two. But you know what? Saul had relied on that armor. Saul did things in that armor. Saul fought his battle in that armor. David puts that armor on and he says, I can't go in these. Listen to that phrasing. I can't go in these. I can't go trusting in this armor. So what does he do? He takes it off. He picks up 5 smooth stones from a stream and he puts them into his bag. And then armed with his staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. He says, I can't go in this armor. He can't go trusting in that. Let's find out here in verse 45. Let's find out what he did go in. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. See, God tried to instruct Saul as the Lord of heaven's armies. But here this little guy, this man David, this young boy David, he won't go at Goliath in the armor, in the power of the army of Israel. He goes in the power of the Lord of the army. He goes in the power of his Lord, who is Lord over his heart. And because of that, he runs with courage. Because of that, he takes that slingshot and he shoots that stone and he kills Goliath. Cuts his head off, wins the day. And you know what? Courage and faith in God will win the day. Submission and obedience is what brings courage. When you obey God's word on a consistent basis, courage arises in your heart that he will take care of the problem. It's when we try to take care of our own problems, we try to do it in our own armor and with our own, sometimes we put our own defenses up. We let defenses go up in front of our heart because we're being hurt. No, put the defenses down. Let the Lord come in and clean up the hurt. Let him make you better. And then the way you treat people in your life, maybe that have hurt you, you treat them out of the love of God too. When you let the Lord fix your life, when you let him be the keeper of your heart, when you let him be your instructor, you do things his way and you come out on top. And just like David did, you come out ahead. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
For 4 decades, this has been the heart of Kenneth Copeland's ministry.
You put that word of God in your mouth and you say, Lord, you don't have to come down here and appear to me. Why, no. The faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
And in the audio series, You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, Kenneth delivers in-depth teaching on the biblical principles that changed his life years ago and will change yours today.
When his word comes out of your mouth, he is obligated by his calling from the Almighty as Lord, head of the church, to see to it that all of heaven's authority is behind what you said.
Learn the key to enriching your faith and how to defeat worry and fear. This CD series outlines the lessons and delivers the teaching that will put your life into God's overflow.
We are the prophets of our own life.
To request your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. This 12 CD set by Kenneth Copeland is now available for just $25. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. Learn how the words you say affect every part of your life. Order your copy of You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life today.
We have something we want to give you this week. It's called Pleasing the Father. It's a little mini book by my mother, Gloria Copeland. Request yours today. It's just got some great scriptures, and it will hit you. Keep it with you all during the day. Pull it out, read it when you get a chance, and it will help you keep your mind, keep your heart set during the day. I am going to please the Father today. And this will help you to do that. So just request this and we would love to send it to you. And we'd love for you to have You Are the Prophet of Your Own Life. This is our offer this week. These CDs will change your life. When you speak the word of God over your life, your life will begin to reflect the things that God wants you to have. He has a great plan for you. And when you listen to these tapes, you're going to discover how to choose that future, how to choose His plan. So order yours today. Let me pray for you today. Father, I just thank you for our listening audience, Lord. I thank you that they are setting their hearts today to hear from you and to please you with their actions. Lord, as they ask you today, does this please you? I thank you that you are able to cause them to hear your voice, that you give them a prompt answer. Lord, you always answer us. You always talk to us. And I thank you, Lord, that they know your voice and they hear and they obey you and they know what pleases you. In the name of Jesus, you're going to have a great day today. You know, our Days of Refreshing meetings are going on at Eagle Mountain International Church this week. It goes on through the 21st. This on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We would love to have you come out here. You'll be refreshed. You'll be changed. If you can't make it out, then listen. Next best thing is to listen to it live by going to emic.org and join us there. It's a great meeting. We're having wonderful things take place. Say this with me. Say, Father, I will totally please you today. In the name of Jesus, I hear every word you say to me, and I obey you promptly. Now, you know what? You're going to have the best day that you have ever had, and you are going to fully please Him today. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. We're going to keep talking about these things. We're going to get into the life of Jesus. And I want you to remember that today, Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year.
Get up! Get up! Get up and declare my word, saith the Lord. For your victory is at hand in greater measure than ever before. Not because of greater work and labor on your part, but because of your faith in the blessing, and your inheritance is at hand. Rise up and head through the door. This is the hour of your victory. You will not fail it.
Your door is open. Come out for an intimate time together in God's Word with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. It's time for the 2007 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. Join us from the 8th to the 10th of November at Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, visit us online at kcm.org or call 1-800-600-7395.